That's a compliment of Craig, that he said, "You don't want to be introduced, do you?" No. A man paid my father a high compliment. You know, people know him, knew him pretty well, and our song leader, an old truck driver, just a country boy, and he stood up and said, "He don't need no introduction. Come on, preach for us." Dad said, "That's a high compliment." And John didn't even put my name in the bulletin. I'm thankful. Real thankful. I'm serious. It's a high honor. Good to see you again. Just glad to be here. Mindy and I both. We're so thankful for this church. Every one of you. We go way back. Many fond memories over the years, and still together. What a blessing. And your pastor, I think you know how we feel about him, how I feel. We, John and I, as 20-something year old young men, we spent a lot of time together, and real close, our wives and our family about the same age. So thankful for John. Honored, privileged that he would ask me to come here. He is one of my absolute favorite preachers, that's for sure. And whenever I ask him to come preach for us, I feel so relieved. I feel so comfortable. I don't worry about a thing when John's in the pulpit. What a good pastor you've got. Thankful for him. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, John preached recently from Ephesians 1, didn't he? Well, Colossians 1 and Ephesians 1 sound real similar, don't they? That's because they are. Same gospel, same word. They sound just so similar. And some of our favorite passages of Scripture, I know. We're not going to go through the whole chapter, but we'll go verse by verse through some of these verses. But I just looked at and jotted down some words that are found here in the first dozen or so verses. Words like grace, peace, faith, hope, truth, wisdom, understanding, power, long-suffering, joyfulness, thanks, inheritance, redemption, words like that. These are gospel words, and that's the title of this message, and that's the subject. Blessed gospel words that we're going to look at. Same, John, be pleased that I'm not going to say anything new this morning. Not one thing new that you haven't heard. Well, this is the gospel. It begins, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, apostle means a messenger. If God calls a man to preach, Christ is his message. Apostle means messenger. When Christ ascended on high, Ephesians 4 says he gave gifts to men. He gave some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, pastors and teachers. That's your pastor and teacher. And it's that he calls them to preach Christ. Christ. That's their message. That's how you know them. That's who your pastor preaches, doesn't he? I know he does. I listen to him. Paul, an apostle, a messenger of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. By the will of God. Everything is by the will of God. Ephesians 1 says he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, doesn't it? Everything is by the will of God. Of God, the purpose of God. Aren't you glad? The unbelieving world doesn't, they like their own free will, don't they? Supposed free will. They like that. They want their will. They want their choice. I don't. Do you, Johnny? Aren't you glad that God is having his will? Aren't you glad that his will reigns and rules in everything? Woe is unto us if it doesn't. Everything's by the will of God. And he says, Paul and Timothy, like Brother John and I, just so close together. We could, what I'm telling you this morning, your pastor tells you Sunday after Wednesday, or Thursday after Wednesday. Thursday, y'all meet on Thursday. Same thing. Paul and Timothy were preachers of the gospel, and Isaiah 52 says they see eye to eye because they've been taught by the same person, led by the same Holy Spirit, to take the things of Jesus Christ and preach them. Paul and Timothy, to the saints. I'm looking at a bunch of saints, and there is more. A bunch of saints. I don't see any halos, but I do see saints. What does a saint mean? It means one who's set apart, sanctified, set apart from the world. God's people are His elect. They're chosen by Him. And they're set apart by the Spirit of God through the preaching of the gospel. That's what sets apart God's people from the world. It's nothing they do or are, that is, but what God has done for them in Christ. Sanctified and put in Christ to save them. Saint. You know, God's people are called saints more than anything else. More than anything else. Saint. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. That's you. You say, I don't feel too faithful. Well, faithful. That means full of faith. What is the faith? If I was to ask any of you in here, any of you believers, who do you believe? What do you believe? State your faith. Give me a statement of faith in one word. Just one word. What would you say? Christ. That means you're full of faith. He's the object of our faith. Faithful. It means true also. True. True to His honor. True to His glory. God's people really are true to His honor and glory. Preachers and hearers alike, what we want to do is honor the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why we're here this morning, isn't it? It really is. To the faithful brethren. Brethren in Christ. I don't call everybody my brother. But I love calling you my brother and my sister. That's a blessed term in it. Family in Christ. I have an earthly brother, and I had two or three of us boys and a girl. I was the youngest. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to have siblings in. It really is a blessing to have siblings. We had a good life growing up together, and I was talking to Peggy about my older brother. He was my hero. I wanted to be just like him. Well, Christ is our elder brother, and we're his people, his brethren in Christ. And like Joseph was not ashamed to call those sorry sons of Jacob. He wasn't ashamed to call them brethren. They treated him wrong, but he was true to them. That's Christ. But what a blessed thing it is to have brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't it? Huh? It's a blessing. You two brothers are so close in your family relation, but you're even closer than that. You're brothers in Christ. What a blessing. I don't have that with my second brother. He doesn't love this gospel. I pray, hope and pray that someday he will. And boy, then will we have a relationship. But I'm closer to you now than I am. There are no relationships in glory except those that are in Christ. You know that? There are no husbands, no wives, no fathers and mothers. They're all in Christ, a family. Christ is our father, our mother, our brother, our husband, and we're all His bride, His children. What a blessing. Brethren. Brethren in Christ. You ever heard that before? That's everywhere in Ephesians 1, Colossians 1. What does it mean to be saved? It means to be found in Christ. In Christ. And one story will suffice to tell us what salvation is. It's to be found in Christ. The Lord told Noah thousands of years ago. He told Noah, I'm going to destroy this world. The whole world is corrupted my way. Full of violence. It repents me that I've made this world. I'm going to destroy it. God didn't love the whole world then, and He doesn't love it now. He's going to destroy it. Christ said that. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But Noah Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved his chosen people. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What does that mean? It means God was gracious to Noah. It means God chose Noah. It means God revealed himself to Noah. It means God revealed his sin, Noah's sin to him, his need of a refuge, his need of being saved. The world doesn't think they need saving. In the days of Noah, you know that everyone said in the days of Noah, God's not going to destroy this world. He loves all of us. Noah said, that's not right. If God is angry with the wicked every day. And God loves those, if you're in this ark when that time comes, when that overflowing scourge of God's wrath comes nigh, if you're in this ark, that means God loves you. And Noah and his family were found in that ark, weren't they? God said, it says God was in that ark, and God was in Christ reconciling us to himself. And God was in that ark, Christ was in that ark, and said, come, Noah, thee have I seen righteous in this generation. And you know what that means. It means Christ is made unto us. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, all these things. Christ is the ark. Christ is Noah. And one day through the gospel, God said to you through the preaching of the gospel, come, Craig, come. You're righteous. Come to Christ. And you came to Christ by his sovereign power and grace, and you've been found in him, and when that day comes, you're going to be in Christ, covered, unblemished. Everybody outside of that ark was hated by God and destroyed by God, right? Only those in that ark. That's what it means to be in Christ. Oh, to the brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, which are at Spring Lake. You can put Spring Lake there. Rocky Mount, Fairmont. Grace be unto you. What kind of grace? Oh, my sovereign, electing, keeping, saving, restraining, constraining, redeeming, forgiving grace. Ephesians 1, inheriting grace, keeping grace, sealing grace, shutting up grace. Noah was shut up, wasn't it? Lord, shut that door. He couldn't get out if he wanted to. If he wanted to. That's the grace of God. Isn't it? Grace is not an offer by God. Grace is an act of God. Grace is not an offer of God. Grace is the power of God. Grace is not something God offers us and we do something with it. It's something God does for us through Jesus Christ. Grace, saving grace. By grace are you saved. Everything's by grace. Faith, repentance. Verse 2. And peace. Peace. Oh my. Peace. You know, there's no peace to the wicked. There's no peace, no rest for the wicked, God said twice in Isaiah. No peace, no rest. Why? Because men and women are in trouble with God. And this whole world, you know, is just full of turmoil and unrest and trouble and wars and rumors of wars and people fighting one another, full of violence, like the Lord said. But God's people have peace. Christ said, peace I leave with you. Peace with God. Peace by the blood of his cross. Peace with God. God's not angry with his people. He's at peace with them. Why? Because of what Christ did. He said, my peace I give with you. Peace by believing. Peace by trusting Christ. Peace. And peace of heart, peace of mind, and peace among each other. Peace with each other. My, you know, God's people, we don't fuss and fight. We have peace. We're all a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the Father of his people. He told his disciples, after this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven. What a blessed thing to have a loving Father. A real father. You men had a good father. Huh? You were so blessed to have a... I had a good father. He loved me. He cared for me. He provided for me. I felt safe. He's there for me. What a blessing. You have a good father. Oh, but if God is our father, if God is our father, you have nothing to worry about. You know what I mean? Nothing to worry about. God is our Father. I remember my dad, we'd drive on vacation, four of us in a sedan, and long before they had vans, you know, where you can just sprawl out there. You know how it was. And we'd all pack into that Buick. We always had Buicks. We'd all pack in, and since I'm the youngest, I'm stuck with the hump on the floor. You know, if I want to lay down, I lay on a hump. Or back in that, you know, the back glass, you know, that little slot, I could fit back there. I'd lay there. But I remember distinctly, we'd go to Florida, Pensacola, Florida. We'd rent a little concrete block house, and all six of us stay in that little cramped house. Best time of our life. But we traveled, it seemed to me, you know, when I was 6, 7 years old, it seemed like it took 12 days to get there. Long time, you know. We never stopped. That's what husbands do, you know, they don't stop. Anyway, we never stopped. And finally, I remember, you know, I'd be in the back seat and wonder, when are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? And I'd look and I'd see the back of my dad's head. That's all I saw for 12, 14 hours, the back of his head. And it never changed. It never dropped. It never changed. Right there, right there. I'm sleeping, I'm waking, I'm sleeping, I'm waking. You know, he's right there. He didn't change. And year after year, we got it. We made that, made it. We made it there, right there. That was my security. My dad doesn't change. He can do anything. We're going to get there. Is that a good illustration? Our Father doesn't change. Whatever He says, whatever He promises, whatever He did for us in Christ is not going to change. That's our security, you see. He doesn't change. Everything around us changes. We change, so on and so forth. But God doesn't change. And all His promises are in Christ. And He's promised you come to Christ. Christ said, He that believeth on me, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And this is the will of the Father, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him should be saved. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Going to be with me in glory someday. That's His promise. And He doesn't change. Now, you going to make it to glory, brother? Doug, are you? Why? Because your Father doesn't change. Because the truth doesn't change. Because the blood's before the Lord. Don't you love these words? My Father. We got a good Father, don't we? Read on. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord. He's our Savior, Jesus. He's our Christ. He's our mediator. He's our intercessor. He's our covenant head. He's our everything. Now, Paul prays for them. He said, I pray always for you. Always. It's love to pray for someone. And I remember my dad years ago encouraging everyone, exhorting one another, pray for one another, like Scripture's done. Pray for one another. Pray for me. Pray for John. I know you do. What a blessing, Brother Doug. You know, first thing you did was pray for your pastor. Why? You love him. It's obvious you love him. You love the gospel he preaches. And you need to be blessed by that gospel. And that's how God blesses you, is through the preaching of the gospel. And he's given you a good preacher of that gospel. And you prayed for him. And God honors that. And God will answer that prayer every time. Every time. And Paul prayed for these people. And I pray for you. You pray for your pastor. And he says in verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, he said, we give thanks. For your faith, for your love, verse 5, for your hope that you have in Christ. Faith, hope, and love. You heard that before. That's our salvation. Salvation is by grace. Grace by faith. And that's not of yourself. That's grace. Faith in Christ. Faith in God. You believe God. You believe Christ. Faith, hope. What's your hope? Again, if I asked you, your hope of heaven, your hope of glory, what would it be? One word. Give me one word. What's your hope of heaven? Christ. You know how few people would say that? You know how few people in the world would say that? And I ask people that all the time. What's your hope of eternal life? And it always, usually always begins with, I. I got saved. I, you know, accepted you. Salvation doesn't start with I, you. It starts with Him, doesn't it? And ends with Him and everything in between. It's all about Him. It's our hope and love. Do you love the truth? Do you love what you're hearing right now? I know you do. You love your pastor. You love what he preaches. You love who he preaches. That's of the Lord. That's of the Lord. Look with me, 2 Thessalonians. Go over there with me. And Paul gave thanks every time in every epistle. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2. You give thanks to God always for you all. 1 Thessalonians 2. We thank God without ceasing. You heard the word as it is in truth, the word of God. 2 Thessalonians 1. Look at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We're bound to thank God always for you brethren, because your faith groweth, the charity of all of you one toward another. See, these false preachers thank people for coming to the church. No, they stand up. We thank y'all so much for coming. I bet you've never heard your pastor say that one time. Thank you for coming. Thank sinners for coming to worship God. We thank God for calling us to come worship Him. We thank God that we're here. We need to thank God that we thank God. Romans 1 says people are not thankful. Unthankful. Second Timothy 3, the last day. Unthankful. Don't give God a thought. Only use His name to curse with. But God made you thankful. Made you realize that everything you are and have and know is by the grace of God. And you thank Him, don't you? Thankful. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul says this over and over. We're bound to give thanks. This is a chief reason for our thanks to God. Bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved, foreloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification, made you a saint. Belief through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What you're hearing this morning, what you hear every Sunday and Thursday. Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory, to see the glory, to be with him in glory. The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our greatest reason to thank Him. Isn't it? Now go back. I'm going to close here. Colossians chapter 1. I knew this would happen. But anyway. He says we give thanks when we heard of your faith, hope, and love. When you heard before, verse 5, the word of the truth of the gospel. How blessed you are that the word of truth, the gospel, came to this place. It hadn't always been here, has it? Has it, Carl? Long ago. You know the story of my father. He was a freewheel Arminian Southern Baptist preacher. And I use that term very lightly. He wasn't a preacher. He really wasn't a pastor until the Lord revealed the truth to him. Understand that? He was a false preacher. Until God sent a true preacher, Rolf Barnard, with the truth, the true gospel, and opened that young man's blind eyes and deaf ears to hear the truth. You remember the story. Purpose. Romans 8:28. All think God does everything on purpose. According to His will. His electing purpose. His choosing purpose. His redeeming purpose. He has an elect. He has a people He chose. And He gave them to Christ. And Christ came down here to save them on purpose. And He did it. And He went back to glory and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He sends the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, through men that He has called, not false preachers, true preachers, through men He has called, and they preach this one gospel, and the Holy Spirit rounds up all of God's elect, and they hear it, and they believe. Every one of them. Same thing. You mean all of God's people believe the same thing? Yes. Exact same thing. One Lord, one faith, One hope of your calling, one Father of you all and in you all. That's right, isn't it? Same thing. We heard you believe the word of the truth of the gospel. What is the truth? If I asked you in one word, what is the truth? Some of we got a one-word religion over. It's easy. Simple. Ask any question. We'll give you one answer. Christ. What's the way to God? Christ. What's the truth? Christ. It's a person, not a what. Life. What's eternal life? Christ. What's the Bible all about? Christ. What about creation? Christ. Eternity. What's that going to be all about? Christ. Christ is all. Christ is all. Like one old fellow said, all means all, and that's all means. Christ is all. He's telling you, is that all? That's all. That's all I got to say. Oh, how blessed we are. How blessed we are, aren't we? Okay. The Lord bless his word.